The Lord. Y'all sang a great special on that last song. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord's good. Take your Bibles tonight, please. Go with me, please, to the book of Psalms and chapter number 78 in your Bibles. The book of Psalms and chapter number 78. I thought winter was over, but it's not. It just keeps coming back again and again, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. It's harassing us. But anyway, God knows what he's doing. He's in control of the weather, I guess. Amen? Praise the Lord. Boy, God has been good. Amen? There's so much every day. There's so much every hour that you can thank God for. And God's goodness, God's just really been wonderful. I hope that you see God every day in your life and the goodness that God provides. And we're going to look at a thought here tonight out of Psalm chapter 78 that God's written in his holy word for us to understand, for us to know. We want to look at here, beginning with verse number 9, Psalm chapter 78, and let's begin with verse number 9. The psalm writer here is talking about the great acts of God, what God does, what God can do. You know, they ask that question in the Bible, what can God do? What can God do? Well, I want you to know from our passage tonight, we as God's people can understand that God can do amazing and great things. And it behooves us as God's people to see him, to honor him, and to glorify God because of what he does. Amen. And he's not done doing things. You know, some people think that, you know, back when they wrote the Bible, God just blessed them. No, the reason God gave us the example of them in the Bible is because he wants to do those great things in every generation. And so God is a wonderful God. And some question God, what God can do. And we'll see an example of that in the Bible here tonight and see what exactly God can do. Let's begin verse number 9 in this passage. Follow along tonight, please, as I read. Notice the Bible says, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turn back in the day of battle. Now, why would you turn back if you were armed and carrying a bow? Notice verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their lust by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And that's the thought I want to bring to light tonight. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your power and your goodness tonight. And Lord, I pray we open the Bible tonight. You speak to our hearts, Lord. I pray tonight you give us something that we need in our heart, a challenge from thy word tonight. And oh, Holy Spirit, we need you to meet with us tonight. Lord, I have nothing to say, but the Holy Spirit desires to speak tonight. He desires to speak powerfully and wonderfully to our hearts tonight. So help us, I pray, tonight to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, as we preach thy word tonight. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reminded of how often in the Bible the children of Israel would go back to the time of Egypt to be reminded of what God did for them. Again and again, they go back to Moses and the deliverance that God gave Moses and the children of Israel again and again. And we come to the time even of the Psalms and the psalm writers. They again go back to it. David would go back to it and remind the people, the children of Israel, what God had done. And David would remind them, don't forget, it was God that led them out of the hand of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hand. It was God that brought them forth. You know, can I tell you, we blame too many things that God does on what people today call fate. They put fate in God's hands. Let me tell you something. It's God that controls the affairs of men. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we don't understand all of what God would do, but let me tell you something. God's will and God's ways can be trusted and believed in by God's people. God doesn't lead his people on a wild goose chase. He chooses to make us remember what he has done in the past. Well, think, why would we need to remember what God's done in the past? I mean, we're living in the 2023 generation. This happened 1,000 years ago. Why was it? Why do we need to be reminded? Why did David need to be reminded of what God did for Moses and the children of Israel? Crossed the Red Sea, and remember the Red Sea parted, and they walked across on dry ground. Amen. Wouldn't that be neat to see fish swimming in the ocean this way rather than having to look down? Man alive. I'd like to see that. That'd be amazing. And the children of Israel got to see these things. They passed through and they went to the waters of Marah, and they were bitter and they couldn't drink. So they cast in and God made them sweet. Boy, God did some great things for them. God did some wonderful things for them. Then God led them to Mount Sinai. And again, they got thirsty. And they smote the rock. And the rock gushed forth water so that they could have plenty to drink. Well, God did a lot of good things for them. Have you ever stopped and just looked at how good God's been to you? And the things that God has done for you? I mean, we forget too easy, don't we? We forget. We forget our salvation experience. But you know, really, when we got saved, if you truly got genuinely saved, there was probably something going on in your heart and mind like, if I don't get saved, I'm going to be in big trouble. If I don't get saved, I'm going to die. I'm going to split hell wide open. I'm going to end up in the hand of Satan. If I don't get saved, I'm going to be in big trouble. I think Mrs. Watson's testimony, she always talks about how God gave her one more chance. One more chance. She felt that if she didn't take that chance, that last chance, that it was going to be over. And you know, I believe that there are some people that God knocks on their heart and God works on their heart and God tries to get them saved, and God works internally in their heart and their mind. And he's knocking on their heart, and he's working in them. And they say no, no, no again and again. I believe there's a time when God will just let somebody alone and just leave them alone. And they won't hear that knocking of God anymore in their heart. They won't hear God pleading with them anymore. I believe that's possible. You know, the tribe of Ephraim was a tribe that I believe was in that situation. Because we're reminded that the Bible says that Ephraim was left to, left to her idols. He said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. God took his hand off him. He said, all right, if that's the direction you want to go, have at it, buddy. You go that direction. May I tell you what? Don't always ask for what you want. Ask for what God wants for you. Amen. Ephraim didn't do that. And we find a recorded history of how God did all these great things for the children of Israel. But yet, somewhere along the line, Ephraim forgot about God. Boy, we ought to wake up every day with a holy fear that we don't want to forsake God or forget God or not remember what God's done for us. Oh, we need to have that every day. We need to have that holy fear of God in our heart every day. Amen. We We ought to walk. You say, should we walk afraid? We should walk in the fear of God every day. You know, I believe there's a lot of people who don't really fear God. They don't really care. Boy, I'd hate to be living in sin and driving down the highway. Amen. Boy, I'd hate to be living in sin and driving down the highway. You never know. God might just plop an 18-wheeler over there to wake you up spiritually. I was driving my motorcycle coming back about 4 or 5 months ago, a while back, last year. I was coming up from Norman, and I was making that turn there just past Tecumseh. You know how the road curves before you get to Indian Hills. And I was coming up that way, and an 18-wheeler just passed me. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but if you're on a motorcycle and an 18-wheeler passes you, it's loud, it's windy, it's an experience. Amen? It is an experience. Right when that guy passed me, I mean, he just got past me, boom, his right side tire blew out. I had to hit my brake. He pulled over into my lane, and then he got over, and I passed him. And I said, see you later, Gator. Amen. But, you know, 5 or 10 seconds earlier, I mean, he blew tire all over me. But imagine if I was right there, he blew a tire, and I'm telling you, boom, that thing went right sideways out, scattered rubber everywhere, and I even got shrapnel of rubber all over. It doesn't taste good, I'll promise you. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. I'm saying to you today, God was good to me that day. God was good to me that day. And the children of Israel, as they were pinned in by the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other side, and all of a sudden God parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. They must have been walking across thinking, man, God is good. Look what God did. But not Ephraim. Unfortunately, Ephraim had a forgetfulness. They forgot what God had done. His marvelous works that he showed them, he did in the sight of their fathers, verse 12 reminds us. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. You know, it's a sad condition when God does something great for you and you just don't remember it. Makes me wonder, the heart wanders in wrong directions. It goes in false ways. This heart, listen, folks, you can't trust your own heart. If I trust my own heart, it'll follow sinfully. You got to know the Word. When you know the Word, follow the Word every day. Keep it alive in your heart every morning, every day. That's the only answer. That's the only answer for this life. When we forget the Word, like the children of Israel did, Bible says they forgot about everything. God led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. They forgot it. They forgot it. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through it. According to verse 13, they forgot about it. They forgot about the works of God. You know, I'll encourage you, when God does something good for you, you ought to write it in your Bible. Write it even in the front fly leaf of your Bible. I have all these quotes and thoughts that I get when preachers are preaching. I like to write them in the fly leaf of my Bible. You know, there's blank pages in the first half, and sometimes in the back half, there's blank pages. I put things in there and write quotations. And sometimes I just go through them and read them. Yeah. Amen. And they serve as a way of helping me to remember what God has spoken to me about. Amen. But Ephraim forgot. Ephraim forgot God. And they got to the place where they looked at God in verse 19 and they said, they spake against God. Notice that. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do that? You can just hear the doubt in their voice. You can just hear the undertone of them speaking, wondering, well, maybe God really can't do that. Can I tell you what? Don't ever give in to that kind of thinking. The Bible reminds us, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's not wishful thinking. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. A Christian must not give in to doubt. Christian must not give in to faithlessness. We must believe in a God who can do wonderful things because He tells us again and again in His Word to remember Him. Is your faith placed in God? That's my first point. Number one, faith must be placed in God. Faith must be placed in God. Put your faith in God. I just this past week, you know, I wondered if we were going to even be able to keep our faith promise commitments this year. Oh, me of little faith. We kept them, and thank God. On Sunday, I reported that we're going to keep our faith promise commitments, but didn't think we'd be able to raise our missionaries any. You know, I got a call today, and somebody says, I forgot to put in my faith promise giving. And they wanted to put in, and they told me the amount that they wanted to give. I was amazed. I was blessed. And I got to thinking again, we've got to just keep placing our faith in God. Just keep placing your faith in God. Just keep trusting the Lord. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He never will. He never will. That's the only special you're going to get out of me. Amen. Solo, that is, anyway. No applause. Just throw money. But faith has to be placed in God. For it to be real in your life, you have to place it in God. For faith to be real in your life, you have to place it in God. And you know what? When you really are faith in your place in God, you will eliminate the stress of worry.
Yes.
You will eliminate the stress of worry. God has designed faith so that we can walk joyfully in life in all situations. You know, if you don't have faith in God, if you're not placing your faith in God, you're going to be worried about every little thing that comes along. What if this? What if that? What if? God does not want us to live like that. He wants us to place our faith in God. Go, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. I love this story. It's a little bit lengthy, but 1 Kings chapter 18 reminds us of Elijah. 1 Kings 18. And notice verse 38. Now, the story goes here as this wicked Jezebel and her husband Ahab tell them they're going to go to Elijah, and they're going to tell him, Elijah, we're going to kill you. You're going to die. And Elijah gets fearful, but then he starts thinking about his God. And God tells him, here, I'll tell you what. Let's go and see if your God, which is the prophet of Baal, or my God is real. And Elijah puts his God to the test. I like that. Sometimes we have to put God to the test. Amen? Notice verse 21. Here's this dilemma. And Elijah came and to all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? Well, that phrase right there will preach right there. Amen? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress it in the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of the Lord, of your gods. Notice false gods. And I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Do you see where he's placing his faith?
Yeah.
He's got his faith placed in God. Verse 24. And call ye on the name of your gods. I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called in the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. You know, there's a lot of people crying to the God of materialism today, but there's no voice that hears them. There's a lot of people today, they're calling to the voice of self, and there's no answer. There's a lot of people that are calling on a lot of things, and there's still no answer. I remember back in the 80s and 90s when it became a thing for the government to create all these programs, because they are going to solve all the problems of the world through all these government programs. Can I tell you what? Our troubles have doubled and tripled.
Right.
Quadrupled. You know why? Because there's a lot of people doing just like they did. They call it on the name of their God, and there was silence. Silence. Pick up there, verse 27. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth. It must be. I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's right.
Elijah's kind of mocking him, saying, what happened to your God? Is he on the cell phone? Where is he? Maybe he's taking a walk somewhere. Maybe he's sleeping. You might need to go wake him up. Hey, we serve a God who never slumbers or sleeps. He's always there. Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manners with knives and lancets. By the way, that's what happens when you serve the wrong God. They cut themselves after the manner of knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering and the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor that regarded. Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench out of the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. You see where he's placing his trust? He's got his trust in God. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Now that leads me to my second point. Not only should we place our faith in God, but we should be encouraging others to place their faith in God. We should be encouraging others to place your faith in God. I think the best people that you and I have, the first and foremost people that we ought to encourage to place our faith in God is our families. Our families. And by the way, this is why it's so important for us men to walk with God, to know God, to place our faith and trust in Him. Because we got a family to lead. We have family to lead. I want my kids to know they can trust in God. I want my kids to learn to place their faith in God. And this is what Elijah was doing. He told everybody, you come near, I want to tell you something. I want you to put your faith in God like I am. Well, we need that today. We need to put our faith in God. Verse number 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, God didn't even ask. Elijah didn't even ask God to lick up all the water. He put the water on the offering just to make sure that they knew that when God came down, that it would burn up that sacrifice, that God was true. He wanted them to know that. And so, but God did even more than what he asked. That's the third point I want to give to you today. Not only should we place our faith in God, not only should we encourage others to place their faith in God, but according to that verse right here, notice God desires to do more than we think or know when we place our faith in God. Amen. Now, by the way, when we place our faith in God, it's important that we're right with Him. It's important that our hearts are clean and right. If not, go to God every day. You know, that's a wonderful principle. You can go to God at any time. You don't have to wait till Sunday to come to the altar. You can find a place wherever you're at. Get on your knees before God and say, Lord, clean me. You know, David asked that, Lord, give me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. And God used him greatly. You see, when we're putting our faith in God, if our heart's not clean, we can't really put our faith in Him. We're not putting our faith in God. If there's some sin there, that sin is keeping us from placing our faith in God, from encouraging others to place their faith in God. But God can do greater than what we think. God can do greater than what we know. I mean, this story is a test to what God did and what God can do. Verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And I like that word the, because it was a comparison between the Baal and God. And they said, you're not the God. You're nothing. You are God. You are the God. The God. You see, if one man would not have put his faith in God, none of the rest of these people would put their faith in God either. Amen? It always starts with leadership. It always starts at the top. We've got to make sure we put our faith and trust in God. Because if we do, God can see us through. God will and can see us through. Verse 40, Elijah said, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Uh-oh, Jezebel, you lost your false religion. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. You know, that picture of Elijah eating and drinking, it's a picture that he... of when you put your faith in God and you've seen God come through, it's a picture that there's rejoicing in the Lord. That's my fourth point. When you've placed your trust in God, there's times when you can rejoice in God. There's times you can rejoice in God. And that's what Elijah was doing here. He said, hey, enjoy God. God came through. I think this is a time when you see God do something in your life, you got to be careful to praise him and honor him for it. You got to go to God and say, God, you did that. Thank you. Thank you. Everything should attribute back to God. Everything should go back and give God the glory. Anything I do good in my life, it's only because of the Lord Jesus and what God has done in my life. It is not. And anything I do bad in my life is because of my old stinking stupid flesh. Amen. This old flesh. Hey, we got to carry this flesh around in this life, so we got to keep it on the altar. You'll carry the flesh around till the day you die. So keep it on the altar. Paul said, I die daily. I got to wake up tomorrow morning and die. You got to wake up tomorrow morning and die. You know why? So you can put your faith in God that day. Amen. Verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon his knees, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, go up to the sea. And he went and looked and looked, and there was nothing. And said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down for that rain, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Sounds like Oklahoma. There was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. See, he was putting his faith in God. Now, Ahab was the king, and the king had all power, but he was not afraid of Ahab. And he wasn't afraid of Jezebel. His faith was in God. Is your faith placed in God? I think of David, little David, going up against Goliath, just a little guy. He went to David, or went to Goliath. He slung the sling around. And you remember what David said? He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen. He was placing his faith in God. He slung that stone around and pow! God performed a mighty miracle that day. God did something for him. I say to you today that God wants us to put our faith in God, everyday faith. There's saving faith. There's serving faith. Every day, we need to put ourselves in God's hands. Say, God, I'm in your hands today. You guide me. You lead me. You're my God. God, help me to follow you. You know, when you do that every day and trouble comes into your life or problems, you can go back to the morning when you said, Lord, I put my hand in your hand today. I ask you to guide me. I ask you to lead me. When you do that, you can have peace in the middle of that storm because you knew that somehow God allowed that to happen. If God allowed it to happen, God will lead you through it also. There's no cause for fear. There's no cause for worry in this life. Yeah, sometimes things get under us, but we have to always remember who we're serving. And remember, put our faith in God. By the way, faith in God is requiring a lot of things. You know, this is not just giving or for our trials and troubles, but, you know, we got to put our faith in God even in our standards. You know, our standards are important. How we act, how we think, how we dress, the music we wear. Music we wear, the dress we wear, clothes we wear. I don't wear dresses, amen. Don't go give me that one, amen. The music we hear, amen. The things we listen to, we got to have faith in God. We need faith in God. Because if not, that old flesh will take over and all these things will creep in. Amen? I still believe ladies ought to dress modestly. You say, preacher, when are you going to get off that? I'll get off it when you roll my body down here in a casket. Amen? You say, preacher, are you going to quit preaching on that? Not on your life, buddy. It's part of our faith. It's part of placing our faith in God. We have to believe this word. And may I tell you what, sometimes our faith is weak because oftentimes we worry more what others think than what God thinks. Yep. And really, what others think really doesn't matter. What only is going to matter one day is what God knows and what God thinks. Amen. That's all that's going to matter. So he's worthy of our faith. He's worthy of placing all of our trust in him. He is the God, the people said. He is the God. So I'm saying you put your faith in God. Encourage others to place their faith in God. You know, it's good sometimes to just put your neck out there and like the turtle stuck his neck out and said, God said this in his word. We're going to do this. We're going to follow his word. Thank God you can. Listen, God will bless that spirit. God will bless that spirit. We're just going to do what God wants. Well, somebody may not like it. Well, let me ask you this. Are you going to answer to them on the judgment seat of Christ? You're not going to answer to them. Hey, listen, every day I live my life, I should be aware that I'm going to have to answer for what I did for God today. I'm going to be accountable to God. You know, Bible reminds us that the word of God is what's going to keep us accountable. We're going to be judged by the words of the book. This book is going to judge us someday. God's going to open the book. He's going to judge us from the words of the book. And he's going to say, hey, this is what I said. Did you place your faith in me? Did you put your faith in me? David did. And by the way, when you place your faith in God, it's not always comfortable in the beginning, but it's always blessed in the end.
That's right.
It's always blessed in the end. Put your faith in God. Trust in him. Trust in God. Trust in God. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.